o'clock as possible. Let me welcome you all back. While I think our last meeting was the 14th and 15th of March, and 15th and 16th of March. I don't recall the exact dates, but somewhere along that line. Appreciate having you in attendance this morning. I believe that we have, do we have anyone on the teleconference line? Member of the task force? Anyone from the commissioner's office? Commissioner Usera? She will return shortly. Okay. Anyone else on the line anywhere listening in? Just so we know who all is there. No, it was Juno, I take it. Anyone from any other sites online? Other
Homer's online.
Good. Okay. You have folks listening?
Yes, we have two people here listening.
Welcome. And Homer?
That was Homer.
And Homer.
Soldaten.
Soldaten online. We have one participant, Joan Schrader.
Great. Okay, maybe we could just for the record show who all is here present. David Mather, Sister Don Taylor, Karen Perdue, Mark Boyer, Roxanne Horschel, Representative Ellis, Dr. Wilson, Jerry Muir, Chris Corbin, and you're representing the Division of Insurance, Thelma Snow Walker. Is that correct? Welcome. And Roberly, are you representing anyone, such as the commissioner?
The commissioner is going to be on, off and on that teleconference.
Okay.
So we're splitting it up.
You're splitting it up. You're join us up here if you'd like.
Okay.
You're welcome to join. And then you have to, you're going to kind of do every other sentence or something with the commissioner?
Yeah. Something like that.
Something like that. And we're not sure, is Senator Collins going to be available today, do you know?
I'm supposed to sit in for her and if you have any questions for her, I don't have a puzzle to be able to answer.
Okay, fine. You're welcome to sit in. Okay. And Representative Barr is not present yet.
Yeah,
he may come. Senator Curtula, we're not sure about. Madam Fry is not here. Who else is missing? Is that it?
Jay
Livey from the Department of Health and Social Services. We have no representative. And we have Larry Bartlett, who is on contract for this meeting, and Nancy Cornwell. Representative Ellis, do you have anything to say? It's worth it. Okay, let's just head right down the agenda. Does everyone have a copy of the agenda then? We'll try to keep rolling here. First thing would be the approval of the minutes of March 14th and 15th. I guess that answers my question. That was the date for the meeting. Anyone want to care to make a motion or any discussion on those minutes?
Approve to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve.
Second.
No objection. The minutes are approved. We'll move into that, and Jay Livey just walked in. Welcome, Jay. You join us up here. Move to the budget, proposed budget for the rest of the life of the task force. The task force is due to expire on February 15th, if that's the correct date, of 1993. And we want to have some just very quick overview of the budget and some discussion of that among the task force.
Homer's not hearing.
Are you hearing me now?
Something like that.
So, I can't hear either. Are we still online?
Well, we tell you were, except you can't hear us.
Rich, you're online. Something went wrong with the computer here in Anchorage. I'm trying to fix it now.
Okay, are we back online? Or? Shall we hold for a second? Are you going to say environmental?
Yeah.
Just me, or is it
everybody? It could be.
Mark says
Mark Boyer, can you hear on this mic? No.
It's a string.
Thank you. Hi, so Donna, can you hear me now? If you can't, don't say anything. Or if you can, don't say anything. Juno, are you still online? I think we're going to go ahead, and when the folks online or who are listening come online, we'll have to explain to them what we did. This is more or less internal task force business anyway. It's not dealing with anything as far as policy goes on health care. So let's proceed with the discussion of the budget. As you're aware of how this process works, we're right now in the final days of the fiscal year, so we're working off of a budget that was approved last year. And you recall the difficulty we had then. We did follow through and supplemental appropriation, so proper authority was given for operation of the task force. And money that was borrowed from finance committees was repaid. The budget for the coming year, we were able to appropriate $167,000, slightly more than that. Actually, it'll probably be reduced by about 2%, I guess the figure is. About $167,000 we have appropriated for the operation of the task force in the coming year. There are still, of course, remains the question as to what finally happens with that money. It's not, my information is the budget has not yet been transmitted to the governor, at least it had not been by Monday.
Yesterday.
It has been now, just yesterday transmitted to the governor's office after the special session. So he has a few days to determine what he's going to do as far as the operating budget goes. We have no indication at this point as to what could happen. It could be that the entire amount will be approved or something different from that could happen. So we're going to have to adjust accordingly depending on what is the administration position. We had hoped that Commissioner Usera would be online to give her views on that. Rover, did you have anything at all to add?
No, I don't have anything to add, but she will be online very shortly. I talked to her just before the hearing. She should be on there soon.
So we may want to come back to her and get her viewpoint, but we're optimistic that the money for the operation of the task force, which would allow for the continuation of staff, would allow for the travel, the other services that are necessary, such as advertising, telephones, and postage, will be allowed, and also, of course, that approval of the budget is very important in us being able to continue with the consultant if we're going to make any major recommendations or follow up on the recommendation we made last time. I think that's an important part of it. So we're kind of in limbo right now as to what may or may not happen. We have no indication even from the governor may take action on the budget. We'll look later for Representative Ellis, do you have anything to add on that area on the budget? Or
no, just that I would solicit the views of all the commissioners if they have any hints as to what will happen to the task force budget. And I just, personally hope they all, since they have the governor's ear, will advocate for a continuation of this process. So maybe, I don't know, Robert will be talking to her commissioner, okay, we'll be talking to his, and we'll see what happens.
Nancy, anything further on the budget? We could give you an actual breakdown as to how it's laid out if you're interested. I think you can actually, maybe as we discuss the next item on the agenda, the request for proposals will become clearer exactly what is available for professional services contracts and how the budget's being put together. I'm going to ask Nancy just very briefly, if there's no questions on the budget, to go over the request for proposals that have been issued, and we have had responses to them. I think she's going to pass out a copy of the work plan that went out to the respondees, or to the people who will be responding, and she can run through the vision or the forms that we presented to and the responses we've had and what the schedule is for determining for approval of the new contract. Nancy, what do you want to go ahead?
What I just passed out was the description of services that was included in an RFP that was issued on the 1st of June. And it requests services, professional services in two phases, which are described there in detail. And I'd be happy to answer any questions about that. The proposals were opened on the 22nd, and they are in the process of being reviewed right now. Send a proposal to nine firms around the country, and I'll just list those quickly. The Alpha Center, the Health Policy Analysis Program at the University of Washington, Health Systems Research, Lumen ICF, the National Academy of State Health Policy, Noble Lounge, Consultant and Actuary, Pat Butler, Center for Health Policy Research at George Washington University, and Grand Rapids University, LA. Senator Duncan and Representative Ellis appointed five individuals to serve on the review team. They are Senator Duncan, Representative Ellis, David Mather, and Dr. Wilson, and myself. And as I said, we're in the process of reviewing the proposal, so we're not in a position to answer the questions about the proposal themselves. But I would be happy to go over the scope of services or answer any questions about that.
Let me just add for your information, as you know, that the RFP is broken into two time frames, one beginning on, one ending, I guess, on September 30th, is that correct? The first phase ends on September 30th, the second phase begins right after that. The first, I've had information before, but as I recall, it's a $35,000 contract on phase one, $50,000 was the maximum amount on phase two. Nancy, refresh my memory, but I think $35,000 is money that's available in FY92. Is that correct?
Correct.
Entirely. So the first phase of the contract really is not hanging out there based on a veto by the governor. That's money that's already been approved. However, and that contract could run through September 3rd. However, we would have some difficulty if the budget was not approved by the governor, because it would not be travel money, staff money, telephone, or any of those other necessary items for fiscal year 93. So we would have a decision to make if the governor had to veto the FY93 budget. We could run some difficulties.
Like I said, I'd be happy to go through this or answer any questions.
Anyone have any questions? First of all, Nancy, how many people responded?
We got three responses from the Health Policy Analysis Program at the University of Washington,
Health Systems
Research, and Noble
Mound. Any questions or comments on the request proposal process, or what any of the services? I know it was just handed out to you at the beginning of page 7 of the handout that Nancy gave you, the services that will be provided in phase 1, which is not to exceed $35,000. More on phase 2. And we've more or less outlined in the services required, the number of meetings that we propose having during a time frame. Jerry?
We just put this on part 5 tomorrow morning, so we have time to kind of go through this. We just got it, and they'll respond to it later morning.
Sure, we can move it back, discuss it tomorrow morning. No problem. Be happy to do that. Nancy, what is the time frame now for approval of the RFPs? What is the schedule to do?
Well, we were supposed to have our scores in today, and I've compiled scores, and then as soon as we do that, the contract is awarded. We just have to notify the legislative affairs. So we're talking the next couple of days.
Sister?
Senator. So the committee will make the decision. The recommendation will not come to this group to act upon and to act on the decision.
That was the decision of the legislative council that had approved the RFP. So that is the authority to award the contract delegated to the proposal review team.
that your question, or was your
question? That was my question.
Yeah, and the, right, the council has approved us entering into a contract. The review team will make a recommendation to the contractor. And we'll come back and make the recommendation to the committee as to who we recommend based on our review.
To the committee.
I would hope that we, if things work right, that we'd be able to report on who on a successful bidder tomorrow afternoon. Nancy, is that possible? Okay, any other questions on that? We will come back to this tomorrow then, after folks have had a chance to look at the services to be provided. We can discuss those at that time. Okay, let's move ahead then, see if we can get into some of the other areas that we want to discuss, and then begin with outcomes of the recent legislative session. I know there was a lot of interest from some task force members wanting to be able to spend some time discussing that, and I think that's appropriate. We need to review what happened and what did not happen last legislative session. I thought perhaps the easiest way to do that was to pass out to you a sheet that we used at the last task force meeting that listed all the major topic areas or the approaches, cost containment, access, malpractice, health plan, certificate of need, grants, facilities, construction, the areas that we had discussed, made recommendations on. And then across that sheet are pieces of legislation that address each of those areas. And we can discuss this any way you'd like. We can run through very quickly and give you the status of where those bills ended up, where that legislation ended up, and then we can open it up for discussion as to what happened and what did not happen and why that might have occurred, and any other comments you might have. Part of our work over the next couple days and over the life of this task force during this interim will be to discuss approaches for the next legislative session as to how we may be more successful in addressing the issue and getting some legislation through. If I can just follow up across the top very quickly, I don't have the committee status. Maybe somebody maybe the representative where my fellows can talk about here. But Senate Bill 67, as I recall, did not move at all. I think it ended up in the Senate Hess Committee, probably, is where it was when we started the process, and it's where it remained. I don't believe it moved out of there.
67 actually ended up in the Finance Committee.
Oh, that's right. That's the one that was over in House Finance.
Finance never
it did pass. That's
oh,
right.
That's Jones's?
Yes.
No, 67 was CON. Plus Jones's bill.
No, 67.
Oh, we do have it right here. Okay. David Mather passing. Right here. Senate Bill 67, that's the. Exactly correct on this, that ended up in the House Finance Committee. That's the one that dealt with the grants for facilities construction. Senate Bill 73 remained in the Senate Hess Committee. That was a bill of Senator Kertulis, and it had, I think, one hearing perhaps in the Senate Hess Committee, but did not move to that committee. Senate Bill 74, health insurance pool for uninsurables, that's a high-risk pool, did pass both bodies, and I think has been signed into law, as I recall, by the government.
Yes.
I believe it has been. It has been signed. Yes.
Or there's no problem.
There's no problem. That bill is in place. Senate Bill 83 and then the like bill, House Bill 71, Senate Bill 83 is still remaining in the Senate Hess Committee. House Bill 71,
Labor and Commerce,
which is not on this list, is in Labor and Commerce. Labor and Commerce. Neither one of those bills moved, although Senate Bill 83 had two or three hearings and quite a bit of work outside the hearing process, but it did not move. Senate Bill 84 and House Bill 69.
Which are?
Pardon?
C-O-N.
C-O-N. Senate Bill 84 was in Senate Hess. House Bill 69, House Hess. Neither one of those bills moved either. Senate Bill 239 and House Bill 269. That was the Representative Boyer, that was your bill, wasn't House Bill 269 on healthcare review agencies, that the
right,
I believe it was. That is in House Finance, the Senate bill did not receive any action. Senate Bill 242, which was the group health insurance for small employers, is House Finance, did not move from there. Senate Bill 290, access to health services for children, which I think was Senator Collins' bill, Senate Hess. House Bill 457, the Alaska Healthy Start Program, which involves the bill, remain in House Finance Committee. So the bottom line is there was some action on legislation. Some of them moved to a committee or two, but only one piece of legislation actually passed the legislature this session, that being Senate Bill 74, the hybrid school. Dr. Wilson.
A couple of the top items that the task force approved did find their way in corrupted form into bill.
Yes. And I apologize for not mentioning that they were not on this spreadsheet, but Senate Bill 462, medical malpractice liability, which I believe dealt with the statute of limitations, did get into bill form, was introduced in the Senate and the Senate Judiciary Committee. That's where it remained. And Senate Bill 463, standard approved for OBGYN malpractice, was also introduced and in Senate Judiciary. Those bills were introduced. Or at least they were, the last status date I have here is 4-1, April 1st, they were in Senate Judiciary. So we did try to, and I think that's a good point to bring up, Doctor, we did try to be sure that all the recommendations that were made by the task force were put before the legislature in some type of legislation. They were not all in one piece of legislation. I think we discussed that early on about how that would not be possible. But all these recommendations as far as the cost containment, the access, the malpractice, CON, were before the legislature in some type of legislation.
Mr. Chairman, just to record, in case we come back to these two malpractice bids, the language wasn't right. It wasn't as the task force wanted it on the one of them shortened the statute of limitations on alleged malpractice below the age of 6 until age 8. That was okay, but in the process change the overall statute of limitations from 2 years to 3 years. I don't know whether it's an error in language or what. And on the one of relating to obstetrics, the way the language came out, it applied only to obstetricians and to all of their practice, whereas what we intended was to apply to anything arising out of the delivery of a baby by any. So if we come back to those, we want to like.
There was another item as well, the rate review recommendation that came from the Division of Insurance. That bill got all the way to the Senate Rules Committee, I believe, where it expired. I used lots of leverage and pressure tactics and everything I could to get that as far as we possibly could. The insurance industry fought me every step of the way, and so that didn't happen. There was at one point where I wanted to tie it to the overall legislation that, the more comprehensive legislation that Dave Walsh was pushing. He asked me not to do that. Senator Pierce didn't like that strategy very much, and so as not to miss that legislation, I withdrew this bill from writing on the back of that bill and let it go on its own, and I suspected that was a death sentence for it, and it turned out to be. So. Anyway, that one got right to the edge, and the insurance lobbyist said no.
Okay, well, that's kind of a report of what didn't happen. But we'd be very happy to enter into further discussion. Questions that you might have as to what happened in the process, why didn't some of these things go, was it worth all the time the task force spent during the interim working on this? We can have a discussion around those lines if people want to. Let me just add, Dr. Wilson, I will be coming back to these areas, such as the malpractice area, if the language doesn't reflect what the task force meant. That may have been just drafting. No one intended to put something into the task force, did not, but you understand once you get into legal drafting and you get the attorneys involved, they sometimes write things in different ways and it comes out not meaning what you intended to and so on. But those are areas that we'll be reviewing and making further recommendations on as to what you don't intend.
I have some straight comments that might simulate some of the thoughts by task force members, and that is I was impressed by the fact that it didn't, that the divisions along the pieces of legislation wrote along more along economic interests than they did along partisanship, even though partisanship tends to follow economic interests in the state. But those were, I mean, that was the cutting point, where the incomes and the money and the dollars involved in the various parts of the healthcare industry. I was very frustrated with the fact that while our colleagues in the legislature were you know, in the early part of the session, talking about an $800 million budget deficit and how the budget was out of control, and could never seem to make the connection intellectually between, seemingly out of control budget and actually out of control healthcare costs. In one breath, people would say to you, or to Representative Boyer, got this more than I did, the HES budget's out of control, and Medicaid keeps going up, and he'd say, well, we're working on that healthcare reform, and their eyes would glaze over at that point. So there was really no connection between supporting the recommendations of the task force in terms of access or in terms of cost controls, and people's panic, at least in the first three quarters of the session, over the state of the budget and red ink that we were swimming in. And I just don't know how any intelligent person couldn't make that connection, but people were unwilling to, because I think all of the interests that descended on the Capitol, concerned about cost controls and, a change in the status quo, I think complicated people, when people would say we're in a big budget problem, and then one of the parts of controlling those costs would be healthcare policy reform, then they would think in their minds, oh, well, that's controversial. You know, everybody's flowing into town. The doctors, the hospitals, the advocates for universal access. Everybody's here with competing interests, and so we can't touch that. That's way too complicated. Time is too short to really dig in and get anywhere on that. So they continued to whine about the state of the budget, but didn't really move forward aggressively to even examine the recommendations of the task force. And there was no backup to give backbone to policymakers from the general public. A lot of pressure from the organized interests, but no backup from the general public on this issue. Because I think we're behind some of the rest of the country. We're middle-class Americans are starting to demand change. Not just Democrats, but Republicans are starting to say things are intolerable at this point. And lastly, we haven't reached that point with the public. The political elites are all covered for health insurance, and folks that don't have health insurance are not politically organized, and they're off. They're gearing up to go fishing for whatever other seasonal work they do that means they probably don't have insurance. So the dynamics just weren't there to get very far with this process. It was frustrating. I hope that we can build more consensus for the next time around.
Okay. Any other comments, Dr. Wilson?
I appreciate your comment, Johnny. I think another way of looking that it might be that there isn't a well-rounded package yet. So why pass a piece of it, even though the piece is very important, like rural budgeting, price controls, until you get a package that everybody can say, well, that looks pretty good altogether. I don't like this or that, because it hurts me this way or that way. I don't think we can expect the public like us legislature to be enthusiastic there. And I think that's the point of the task that we have and the task force the rest of the way is to get something that is realistic and well-rounded and complete for us.
Yeah, right. I agree with you to a point. I mean, this was a package in the sense, even though some parts were better fleshed out than others, it was sort of put forward as a package of recommendations. And when House Bill 83 came under heavy attack, it all sort of, the parts of the plan that cost any money were almost dead on arrival. And that was disappointing, I think, to Senator Collins and myself in terms of, the first incremental step for the uninsured, low-income children. My God, you think if children who don't have health insurance and the subsidies actually relatively small, if we couldn't tug at people's heartstrings and even get any motion on that, we're in big trouble in terms of the access piece of all this. But the money pieces were dead on arrival. We knew that Senator Duncan fully sensed that his proposal and though he worked on it a lot and there were changes made to it, was going to be a real focal point. And when that came under some pretty heavy pressure, it all just sort of fell apart as a package. And I guess maybe later on in the discussion we need to further define our terms about what constitutes a package, a set of recommendations or a set of policies that are so inextricably linked that they must all hang together or fall apart. I don't have a sense that the public was engaged in this debate at all. And so should be another piece of the work plan for the task force to try and engage the public in more of the dialogue, because that wasn't there for or against any kind of package recommendations or a comprehensive plan.
I just want to say a couple things. First of all, I think the commission should understand that their interest in terms of passing this legislation is very well represented down at Juneau this year. I think some of the else's frustration where it comes from, all the FT put into it. Jim spent a lot of time working on legislation, and not just sitting in front of committees, but spending a lot of time trying to talk to people about what it means and how it works, and actually trying to change people's minds about how to think about these issues, which is really what we're up against. Same with Representative Boyer. And he's good away from the budget. He spent a lot of time talking about these issues, too. So you should look at the record of what happened and think that we're well represented down there. This is really important. Secondly, I think the issue about the public is important, and we should talk about that. I think one of the problems that people had was not being able to figure out really what the problem was that we're trying to address, whether it was too high health insurance costs, or whether it was too many people uninsured, whether it was too many people not getting served. And I think we need to really focus on what it is that these specific issues are that we're trying to address.
Let me just check to be sure. Soldaten and Homer, are you hearing us now? Juneau, do you hear us? That was Juneau. I guess Homer or Soldatna, you're not on?
Yes, Homer's on.
Okay, fine. Just want to be sure you were hearing us.
This is Soldatna. We hear you, though.
Okay. Did the commissioner appear yet in Juneau?
Yes, sir.
You're there. Well, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Beautiful day in Juneau.
Tell us more about that. Okay, Commissioner, we're having a discussion of the legislative session and trying to get some understanding of what did or did not happen. If you're going to be able to hang around for a few moments, I'd like to continue this and then go back and discuss, get your views on the budget and where we may be standing, because the task force is interested in what our future may be. So will you be available for a few more moments before you?
So, that would be fine. And I have been here for some time and been listening to the discussion, so I think I'm up to speed with you.
Okay, great. Okay, any other comments on, Representative Boyer, do you have any comments on the legislative session, what might or might not transpire, or what we may need to look at in the future?
It's hard to remember back that far, actually, to the time when I think, from my own perspective, I kind of pulled the plug on in being engaged on these issues. It became clear at some point, wherever that was, that nothing was going to move, and kind of disengaged from it all. So it's hard to remember when that happened exactly, but there was a clear moment, it seemed like, in time. I guess, now from a little bit of distance from it, I feel frustrated that there hasn't been real leadership by the administration on the whole set of issues. Our Commissioner of Health and Social Services has not been engaged in this issue personally, and that I think would be important to the future success of the initiative. The governor, I think, is not aware of this set of issues and how it impacts the budget. And that's an important thing that I hope we turn around. So it's not just a matter of engaging the public, but I would hope that we more actively engage the administration and get the governor's attention on the whole set of issues. And that absent that, individual members will continue to be mired in the various special interests that all have a stake in this, and individual members cannot, I think, move a comprehensive package without a very aggressive and active participation by the administration and a commitment to the set of issues. So I hope that happens, and absent that, I don't have any confidence that we'll get anywhere in the next year. I didn't mean to be so pessimistic, but that's kind of an observation from a couple of days away from it.
Commissioner Usera, this is Representative Ellis. I, Representative Warrior's comments sparked a memory with me about a comment I think you made to me or the task force or something there at the end about the administration was going to be working on this subject during the interim and would have some policy initiatives to present to the task force or, I don't know, some kind of people plan on health care or something. Do you, I'm sorry if I'm putting you on the spot, but I just wondered if you had anything you wanted to share with us along those lines, because I think, that would help move us along if there was something like that going on. If there is such a thing, do you have any idea of the timeline when the task force could engage discussing any initiatives the Hill administration wants to put forward next session?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to speak to that. And you recall our conversation fairly accurately, and that is that we clearly have felt our participation on the task force, and I say our, the administration representatives on the task force, has been one of listening and learning and trying to help identify what the problems truly are. Again, I want to concur that I think that we need some more public process to help narrow it down. Regrettably, some of the proposals that have come out and I don't mean this as flippantly as it may sound, but I think we're trying to kill a gnat with a sledgehammer. But at this point, I don't feel like we have defined what the gnat is. Maybe it is a monster that needs a sledgehammer. So we want to continue working in the task force, continuing educating ourselves, hearing the public, hearing from the consultants, and hearing from all of the players in this process. We have been meeting on a fairly sporadic but regular basis throughout this process, and have committed to continue to do so over the summer. We had a meeting just yesterday with the Office of Management and Budget with some suggestions on one of the approaches that we intend to take is to go off for a day or two and work on some of these issues and see if we can't zero in on helping to define what it is we're trying to attack here. And as I say, I don't know that we may or may not come out with a recommendation for the governor for an initiative or a plan, that, as you say, the Pickle plan for addressing health care, but I think certainly we have as a preliminary challenge coming up with a criteria or an evaluation tool for considering proposals, and obviously this is a real concern, and the comments earlier were exactly correct. I mean, within the environment that we were working this year, money bills for DOA. You know, we were trying real hard to find enough money to run the programs that we've got and to consider additional programs that would cost new money. It simply weren't within the context of what we could consider. I think that a thoughtful, consolidated or integrated approach to current programs that specifically address identified and verified problems is proposal that with public input and, as you say, you know, engaging all of the players in the process is not beyond the reach of possibility. We are going to work on an interim basis, as I say, this summer, and look forward to participating on the task force and learning more about these issues as we go.
Thank you, Commissioner. In fact, that was going to be my question as to how you view the task force's role as we move through this summer as it relates to what the administration may be doing. I would be hopeful that we could be working closely together and that the administration would not be taking one approach and the task force heading in a different direction, but we might try to coordinate those efforts. Is that what you envision?
We kicked around several ideas just among ourselves on how we can effectively do this. Obviously, the task force is, and as you know, I've said on several occasions, there's an institutional knowledge that's being built up in this task force that I think has a tremendous amount of value in the process. I think our initial step is to get a working group together here, you know, where we can meet on a more regular basis, and we would be happy to include other representatives of the task force, for that matter, in that process. I think that one of the problems, quite frankly, that we've had with this is and not having personally attended some of the early meetings, I think that we are not necessarily all seeing or all buying into the assumption upon which some of these proposals have been made. You know, whether it's 90,000 uninsured or 9,000 uninsured, I think still has to be determined. We're trying to get our arms around the extent of the problem. From my understanding from the other representatives on the task force, have parted ways on some of those assumptions, and consequently our consideration of the fixes for the problem have a different perspective.
Commissioner, it seems to me that, I mean, this I'm glad to hear your discussion, but it seems to me that those are some of the issues we need to then discuss with the task force and the administration. I wasn't aware that there was that much disagreement on some of the bottom line assumptions. Some people may say, no, it's not 90,000, it's 70,000, right? Or question what the number is, but I don't think there's any disagreement that there's a tremendous problem, not just in this state, but throughout the nation. Let me just ask you more specifically, though, for the task force's information, because we're running up against the end of the fiscal year. Of course, the governor just received the budget, and of great importance to this task force and our ability to continue to work on this issue and come forward with some recommendations to hopefully get further public involvement and make some progress in this area is our ability to function during the coming fiscal year. Do you have any thoughts on how on that at all as far as the budget goes?
The short answer, Senator, is no, I really don't know. My understanding is that the budgets were transmitted, and obviously we've been going through those things with a fine-tooth comb. There are a lot of people who are participating in that process, and I can say that as far as I know, at this point, the funding, if you're talking specifically for the task force, the funding is in that bill, and I haven't heard any discussion about it not remaining in there. But as I say, there are a lot of people participating in that budgetary analysis, and I can't make guarantees on anything because I just simply don't have enough information before me at the present time.
You're the only commissioner that we have with us today, unfortunately. Commissioner of Commerce. Well, who is Commissioner of Commerce?
The acting commissioner is Blair Galloway.
Okay. He's not with DNR already? I thought he was with DNR.
What time is it? I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, the commissioner of Commerce, whoever that may be, is not here. The Commissioner of Health and Social Services is not, but one of the things that I think, and Representative Ellis mentioned this draft before you were online or before you could hear us, is that we do need, I think, very strong to have every tool at our disposal.
Pastor Thomas Blunt, Senator.
Beg your pardon?
And I'll be happy to convey your comments.
I was hopeful you would convey your comments. Dr. Wilson.
Rod Wilson, the commissioner spoke of not necessarily buying into the assumptions that we're working under, and I think he's excited that it's inevitable to work to this effect that it's going to cost more. I am not assuming that. We're spending a lot of money on health in the state. We're probably spending too much money on health in the state. We're not spending it in the right places at the right times for the right things. And I would hope that maybe this is pie in the sky, but I mean, Hawaii claims to have done it. And if we do it right, it's not going to cost more. It'll be neutral, maybe even less. And I think if you start with that assumption, then the administration, for example, might look at it a lot more differently and might be much more interested in they've exhibited so far in addressing this problem. How do you spend money right? Everybody
health care,
stop wasting so much money.
Commissioner, this is Representative Olson. It's obvious we do need to spend some more time together with the task force, and I hope we can continue with the budget. You were talking about viewing this as possibly using a sledgehammer to kill a gnat. I think some of us on the task force have been together for more than a year now. See us as, trying to use a fly swatter to corral an elephant when it comes to this problem. So the concern about the assumptions underlying recommendations of the task force, we're all entitled to our opinion. I just hope we can all stick together and try and understand each other on those assumptions. And if they're, you know, if you can convince us your facts and figures or whatever that we've come up with, I think this task force is flexible and is willing to review some of those and adjust to whatever realities are out there. But it's obvious we need to have more discussion and time together so that we can go into the next legislative session with some refined recommendations that we can all feel good about and push in unison, because that's what it's going to take. I asked you a question, too, about any kind of pickle initiative, because we're really hoping that if you all are going to do that in the interim, and I think that's a terrific thing if you do, because it will mean more of a focus from the administration on this set of issues, that you would feel that would not be a reason for the governor to get rid of the task force, because he's going to do his own thing through the main cabinet or the commissioners or whatever you want to call it. I hope that if you all are getting aggressive about an initiative there, that you would have that, you guys would advocate for it, but that you bring it to the task force and we could see if we could buy into some or all of it, or, I mean, make it a more unified process, because that's the way we went into the task force, including executive branch members in this, was to raise our chances of doing something positive, because we all realize that different parts of this discussion, different representatives have the ability to block things and create gridlock. That's not what the Alaskan public's interested in. I don't think that's what any of the serious policymakers are interested in. So I hope you guys do move forward with that. Get commissioners other than yourself involved in that discussion and bring it to the task force. And if we don't accept all of it and you guys are mad about that, then you have the ability to push your own legislation in the next session, maybe as a countervailing force to ours, but it would probably be more likely that we grapple with those things together during this interim and come out with an even better product than we would otherwise be able to achieve.
Just a couple of quick comments. One is that I'd like to reinforce Chuck Wilson's comment, and that is that I think the proposals that we want to look at, and certainly the context of the framework in which we've been considering these, is not to do more, but to do things differently. And that's part of our dilemma with this. And again, I think from our perspective, we're trying to figure out, you know, we sit here and see the systems and the programs and the services that are available to Alaskans, and how, you know, we're evaluating these proposals in terms of what more can we do, or should we do what we do differently and better. And I do agree with you that it is like saying, you know, that with a slide slider, if you look at the big picture, and that means looking at what we currently do, and looking at whether or not it's effective and it is creating the behavior and the environment and the culture that we really want for the state. So if what we're doing is the shift there of if we're going to fix the whole thing, we need to figure out what we do now and what's working and what's not working. And I'm not sure that we have thoroughly investigated that aspect of it. If we are going to try to provide niche programs, that is to recover those people who are currently disenfranchised from the system, we need to focus on that. I'm ratifying with that for open that I think that we need to look at what we're doing now and see whether or not we should do that differently. Not how much money we spend, but how we spend it, whether it's creating the behavior that we want. With regard to the task force, I think task forces are a good idea. You know, having a forum for discussion and for bringing things forward and ideas, I think are great. We have pieces of these issues. You know, obviously, Health and Social Services has all of the moderate and low income programs. We have the Division of Insurance in the regulatory area, and the Department of Administration. It's involved primarily because we have the biggest piece of the commercial market in terms of our employee program. So we're big players in providing these things. We have been looking individually, and I mean that departmentally, at our pieces. But you have to look at it as a whole, and I agree with Representative Ellis that there needs to be better coordination. And I personally just for me, but I personally have no objection to using it, the task force, as a forum for coordinating and consolidating. You're right. I think that last legislative session was evidence of the fact that it's going to be hard for the task force to come out with a bill that is the panacea, that nobody's going to take pot shots at. That. You know, whether it's an administration bill or whether it's an individual legislator's bill, or quote unquote consensus bill. It's going to be subject to a lot of scrutiny, and we're all going to have to do what we have to do in the process. But I have no personal objection to using a task force platform, and as I say, I think institutional wellness is a good idea, and we can use it effectively.
Okay, information we have some folks who want to talk here. Consensus bills are difficult to come by. We found that out in a special session. Roxanna first, and then David, did you? Roxanna?
This is Roxanna Herschel. I just wanted to comment on, since we're talking about possibly what went wrong and what we're going to do this year.
Why don't you pull the mic in closer to you?
Some of the information that was sent to us by Nancy. One is the recent comprehensive reform legislation proposals, and I was real impressed by what was said in Florida, Minnesota, Vermont. They made a statement right at the top, and then they had proposals that would follow that statement. And I think that some of the areas that this task force had a problem with last year is we were jumping around so much on access and affordability, and, you know, we kept going back and forth. It was really hard to get into the meat of a problem or give final recommendations. After we were through meeting, I had several people that would call me and say, is this bill really following the recommendations of the task force? And some of them, honestly, I didn't know because we were so involved in educating ourselves that we really didn't go in to depth in any of the bills. That's one suggestion I'd just like to make for the task force here. Again, the other thing I wanted to point out is just my personal feeling about the task force. We've all put in a lot of time. This is uncompensated time. This does not really relate to my personal business. And so it's a great cost to me to leave my business during this time and put the time in. To feel that I'm donating this time for nothing is very frustrating to me. And I'm saying that because of the administration. I want to know, really, is this a governor's task force or are we out on our own? I don't feel that we're getting the participation from the people that are actually working this, and it's their job day by day by day. And that is all of the commissioners, and that is the representatives of the governors. If he doesn't believe in this, if he's not really working with us, if he's not going to ask all of his employees to be here and work with us, then I would like to see him not even pass the budget. I feel like we're wasting our time. And again, I'll say that I get paid nothing for being here. Each month when I come here, I'm taking away from my business. And it's money that I could be making. But I'm asking, where are the other people that is their day-to-day interest? I am just shocked that they're not here in these meetings and learning what we're learning. We're having all of these experts and testimonies. We have representatives from the doctors. We have representatives from the insurance. We have small business. We have labor. We have all of these resources. And I don't feel that all of the different departments are even taking advantage of it. And I'm very disappointed in that. Thank you.
If we're going to let the commissioner respond if she would like to, let me first just clarify that this is not a governor's task force. We should make that clear. It's not an administration task force. It's a task force that was created by the legislature. It was a legislative initiative that created the task force. And the membership of the task force was designated a certain number of public members, a certain number of members of the administration, et cetera, and those appointments have been made. I don't, beyond that, as far as participation by the various departments and agencies and their personnel, I think it's very difficult to expect them to be here in great numbers at every meeting. It's, I think our goal, though, is to, through the administration members, to have the interaction with the administration that's necessary so we can develop the information we need, and also that they can become supportive of this whole health care reform issue. We're hopeful that the administration is supporting health care reform outside of that. Really encourage their active participation. It's clear that it's not a task force that was started by the state initiative. Any other comments on Roxanne's comments?
No, Senator, I was interested in your perspective, obviously, and thanks for clarifying the nature of the task.
You're welcome. David, then Karen.
I have a couple of comments on slightly different areas. First, I was really encouraged by the material that was sent out on healthcare reform that we're going to talk about a little later, because even though I felt as Roxanna that a lot of times the task was sort of overwhelming, I think I got some validation from looking at what other states had done regarding the tack that we'd taken, particularly what Vermont had done, because it's a state that has probably fewer resources than this one, if any. So I also felt like that maybe we're not too ambitious in our grasp, our reach. We haven't grasped anything yet. But so I was encouraged by that. I did get some validation. I was very discouraged by the commissioner's comment a minute ago regarding some of the underlying assumptions. This group has been working. We've met together 10 or 15 times. There's been three or four commissioners at each meeting, and that's the first time I've heard a serious questioning of sort of the major assumptions, the two assumptions that are the bedrock of this task force. And I think one of them is the data that we have on the rate of increase in cost in medical care, and the data that we have on the number of uninsured Alaskans are two sort of bedrock assumptions. And I'd ask the commissioner to please put in writing to us what the administration's estimates of those two items are, because if they differ from what we're using here today, I think we need to know it. I think it's a responsibility of the administration to know those two numbers. If they don't know the number of uninsured Alaskans, then the Department of Health and Social Services is certainly not meeting its responsibility to the residents of the state. So I'd like to see those in writing as soon as possible.
Commissioner, do you have a follow-up? If not, Jay Leidy wanted to. Karen, if that's okay, we'll go to Jay to respond to that.
I think when we talk about the lack of meeting the assumptions, I don't think the administration has a better number. But I think the concern is, and I think this showed up during the session, is what do the assumptions mean? If we have 70 or 80,000 uninsured in the state, what really is the problem? Is the problem that people can't pay for health care? Is it a cost shift problem? Problem people aren't actually being able to access health care because they don't get into health care soon enough? Is it something else? And probably all of those things to some degree, but I think we need to spend some time focusing on exactly what the problem is, and maybe one way to do that is do some a little bit more of a public process so that we hear from more individuals who have had to delay care because they don't have insurance. A little bit more from small businesses who can't afford wood rock insurance for their employees and some of those kinds of things. I think it might help focus a little bit more on the problem. And I think that, frankly, will make the package easier to sell.
Karen?
I'm just struck by this conversation that one of the things that we have on our agenda to do in the next 2 days is a work plan. And I think that a lot of these issues can be addressed in the design of the work plan. If there are basic assumption questions, then they ought to be in the work plan to discuss. If there are basic interpretation questions, they ought to be in the work plan. And the work plan ought to be a reflection of everybody's agenda who sits around this table in terms of unfinished business. Otherwise, I agree with Roxanna that we're really, we're not here as a fully representative group. So I would just endorse us pouring our energy into a work plan that looks forward and tries to meet everyone's needs the best we can. And if people can't be here to participate in the work plan at this point, that we make sure that the people have the opportunity to get their comments in on the work plan And that once we go beyond that, that we've got a focus and we've got a direction that we're going to take.
Okay, Trish?
Mr. Horvath, I have been this discussion's been interesting. I guess I like the idea of the work plan a lot here, and I guess from this discussion around basic assumptions, I am struck by the fact that it seems quite obvious to me that the administration has differing views on whether, in fact, that basic assumptions are accepted or not. Your comment, Jay, to me was not so much that you don't accept the basic assumptions of the numbers, but just that you feel that you ought better to find those. Sort of who's in that group of numbers, which I think is certainly very valid, but that's not exactly what I heard you, Commissioner Sarah, saying. What I heard you say is that you seem to not believe the basic numbers, and that when you say there could be 9,000 or 90,000, I see those as, that's a different concern I hear you saying than Jay Leidy's concern. So that's maybe something we do need to clear up, because, you know, we're all part of this task force, and we ought to, I think as a group we need to have that cleared up and have people understanding those things.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? Comments on this area of the agenda? We're really still in the area of outcome.
I would just reiterate that I think that we need to do more work in defining the specific problem that we're trying to solve. And that's where I guess I'm still unclear. Maybe it is merely my personal flaw here. We have discussed everything from universal, let's fix the whole system, to let's fix the problem for small business, you know, access for small businesses to insurance. They're two very different approaches, and they obviously are meeting the needs of different constituents. Those kinds of, and you know, I don't want to get hung up on the word assumptions, but I think I'm still trying to get a clear idea of what the problem is that we're solving. I think we can all agree there's a problem. It's a big problem, and you're right, Representative Ellis, it's a national problem, it's a state problem. And we need to get our arms around it. But I think, I'll say one more time, that I also support the idea of getting a work plan, because I think a key piece of this is going to be understanding what we presently do as a state system in terms of addressing this. We spend tens of millions of dollars a year in providing programs to Alaskans in the name of access to health care. And whether it is Medicare or Medicaid or public health service or Indian Health Service or any of the numbers of things that we do, not sure that we have a clear understanding of where we're spending that money now, whether or not it is doing the trick. I think most people would agree that the federal Medicaid and Medicare systems are not perfect. You know, they need some work. So I think I would certainly make the suggestion that part of the work plan be to analyze what we do already do and what's working and what isn't working, so we can identify more clearly what the problem is.
Okay, any other comments? I think this has been a worthwhile discussion, because we will be getting back tomorrow or this afternoon, I guess, setting out our task force work plans for the coming months, and I think this is a good discussion to start from. Any other comments or questions on this area? Nancy?
I was just wondering if Thelma might just briefly review, there were a couple of minor changes from what was discussed in some detail,
which is asked for last meeting. Okay, since that's the only piece of legislation that did pass, maybe it's worthwhile that she followed what the task force recommended.
Okay, this is Bill Walker from the Division of Insurance. We have we made a comparison of the original proposed Senate Bill 74 and that passed. There were a couple of areas that were added for clarification purposes, basically in the area of the responsibilities of the Director of Insurance. One significant area, however, deals with the amount of premium to be charged. Originally, it was said 125% of the average of the five estimates, and that was increased to 200% of the five have estimates received. We have the Division of Insurance really don't see a big problem with that. We realize that the total premium will have to be in excess of that is normally charged in the marketplace. And along with that, we have had questions relative to the dumping of high-risk individuals into pools. And with that increase being there and the fact that this deal also requires the employer, if he has one or two employees that are eligible for the high-risk pool, that the employer is still liable for premiums for those employees. And what happens, he will still be liable for the same amount of premium that he would pay for any other employee in the organization if he has a couple of people in the pool area, with the excess being the responsibility of the individual that's in the pool. That's basically the most significant change that occurred in the Senate Bill 74, was that increase in the premium from 125% I'll answer any questions if I can. If you have them, go to
the table. Right. Ms. Margaret, what is your estimate of the impact on other insurance policies, individuals or groups, as a result of the passage of this? How much will it raise the premiums across the board of the other policies?
It won't necessarily raise the premium in the other areas for standard insurance because of the fact of the percentage that you have here, the premium over and above an average. We don't feel that it will have a large impact on the remaining portion of the insurance premium because we will continue at the Division of Insurance look at the rates being filed by as part of the form filing to make sure that they are still competitive within the marketplace. And also, we also look at the rates for the Organized Hospital and Service Corporation, and we approve those rates now. So we might see a little fluctuation upward in the standard rates, but we don't feel that it's going to be that much because of that increase in the percentage, in the percentage of the average.
Karen and David.
What's the latest thinking of what the base premium price might be so that you can have a sense of what the 200% means?
Well, the bill calls for 5 estimates, and it depends on what those estimates come in at. Then you take an average of those estimates, and the base premium can be increased by 200% of those that estimate. So it just depends on what the estimates come in at so far. And without having them right now, it's a little difficult to give you.
David? Okay, any other comments or questions on that area? Okay, one of the things, of course, we'll be discussing later on, in fact, before, if we get that far, will be successful health reform legislation in other states. And Larry, I'm assuming in that discussion it will also have some discussion of how they approached it strategy-wise, maybe overcome some of the difficulties we had in our session. So we'll be able to maybe relate these two discussions a lot further. Okay, any other comments or questions in this area? Okay, again, although it looks like we didn't get much legislation through it, we did not. I would say that I still think the task force that worked over the last year is very much worthwhile. I think we've kept the issue before the public, kept the issue before the legislature. It's a very important issue. There may be disagreement on how we approach resolving the issue or how we approach comprehensive reform. I think it's important to keep moving forward and trying to bring people together. I do think that there are several things we need to do. One, public education. We need to increase public awareness, involvement in the process. Not just the task force process, but also the legislative process once we get back into that. We need to somehow, as Representative Ellis stated, determine what we mean when we leave the task force as to the comprehensive package. Does that mean everything has to be tied together real tightly, or does what does that mean? My understanding from the task force March 15th, we had made recommendations on a comprehensive approach, even though those were in separate pieces of legislation. We need to try to resolve that. And I do think we need to get the administration more involved. And Commissioner, if there is information that you have, if there's problems with the way the state programs are working that you've identified, and some recommendations and suggestions, we'd appreciate having them brought before the task force. And I hope you and the Commissioner of Health and Social Services and others will be willing to do that as we move through this process. Okay, any other? Yes, Dr. Wilson.
One other item, which I've mentioned before, with respect to legislation, I don't know whether you are all aware that the good offices of Senator Couture's offices, the CHIPRA proposal. Was cast into legislative language. It wasn't ever used in the bill, but it exists now in two forms, one that the associations have given in legislative format, and one that Senator Couture has.
Okay, and we'll have that to look at. My also just for members of the task force, I'm sure you understand this, but all legislation that was in is now dead. Everything would have to be reintroduced into next legislative session. So those are all. But they would be available for review in their final form. In fact, I think included in your packet are a couple of the pieces of legislation, Senate Bill 74, Senate Bill 83, one which passed Senate Bill 83 seemed to generate the most debate and controversy during the latter days of the session was included, so you see how it was drafted and how closely it applied to task force recommendations. Okay, if any other comments in that area, I think we'll keep moving ahead. Next on the agenda is the if there's any further discussion, excuse me, I was reading over, took my mind off things. Any further discussion in that area? We'll come back to 5-minute break, except you're asking for. Okay, we'll take about a 5-minute break. When we come back, we'll have Denny DeGros, President of Alaska Public Health Association, to discuss the outcome of the Alaska Health Summit. Okay, how about 5 minutes, and we'll get back to the day.
Sure. Yeah. Well, there's plenty of public service opportunities. If you've got it in lock position, you should be
locked and down.
All right.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to meet with the task force. I don't have any great mandate to bring from the summit, but I do have some that I think are worth knowing. The first thing I guess I would talk about is that there were about 400 people attending, mostly health professionals around the state. So it was very well attended, and it was a very lively discussion broken up into basically two parts. The first 2 days dealt essentially with health problems, health status issues, and dealt a lot with the 22 categories that appeared in the National Health Code in 2000. It's a large document the federal government produced. The idea of those first 2 days was to attempt to look at Alaska and compare some of Alaska's features to the features that were being described in this document as desirable. And so the two afternoons of the first 2 days were taken up in about 85 concurrent sessions that dealt with a whole variety of health issues, everything from immunization to healthcare access, health promotion, health education, nutrition, violence in the home, a whole lot of different issues were looked at in those concurrent sessions. And comparisons attempted with the federal benchmark that had been established in time. There was a lot of trouble with that. The trouble was that we don't have a lot of good data. The state, primarily a young man named Brad Whistler, who works with the commissioner's office, attempted to put together a document that would sort of summarize Alaska's health status when compared to these 22 categories. It was a very frustrating process for him to try to find data. And the conclusion was that many of the categories that appear in that federal document are not measurable in Alaska. They simply don't have the data. I think Jerry came up with this essentially the same conclusion in the part that he participated in on that Friday morning, is that the data is a central issue. Looking at our system. The summit passed a resolution, and I can only describe it as what I think was a unanimous consent passage of a resolution. At a meeting like that there were no dissenting hands raised. Essentially, the resolution called for the commissioner and the government to establish a health planning process. Starts with the understanding that the state of Alaska doesn't know where it's going on the question of health. We don't have clear policies, we don't coordinate very well, we don't have data to show what we need to do. So it seems to a lot of us that the basic machinery of determining how you would move a system from one place to another isn't present in Alaska. It has been a chronic problem for those of you who've been involved in healthcare in Alaska for a long time, and many of you have. This is not something new, as we've looked at this data question over and over again. The task force has dealt pretty much with data as it relates to the access question, who has health care and who doesn't, but for the folks who attended the summit, it meant a problem in a much larger public health sphere. I guess what's worth remembering out of that discussion is that people who attended the summit attended to connect the healthcare access issue with the public health issue. Because you don't see them as necessarily two separate areas of endeavor or areas of inquiry or areas of problem. It's, their admonition to all of us, I think, was to think of the healthcare access and the public health issues as part of a single continuum. The data issue relates to both the public health parts of it as well as the access parts. There was a strong message in the summit about the sort of ethical quality of public health service and the need to acknowledge race, culture, and poverty as issues in this equation. That is, there's not simply not going to be a single standard way to modify the system, that each community has to be looked at
its own rights, but a strong emphasis on the need for local planning. This larger planning question, local communities are seen as sort of the basic unit in a healthcare system that includes both public health services as well as the services of the medical system. Communities have had a brief opportunity to do some local planning through a grant project that's been administered by the organization that I work for, which is the Rural Alaska Health Education Center, which is part of the Rural Alaska Health Professions Foundation at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. The last 2 years we've been working on a local planning project that was created by the Senate, by the legislature a couple of years ago, Senate Bill 326, established local health planning money for small communities. So we've been running that as a pilot just to kind of see what happens. I can tell you that we need a lot more of those kind of resources. Communities out there desperately need the ability to plan, to get together, to take a look at their situation. And you know, we simply know from the experience in the Northwest, Washington State University of Washington School of Medicine, that their community health services development project, after which the Alaska project was prepared, really does work. That is, if a community has a small amount of resources to look at its health problems and its health system, it can usually make very significant improvements in the local condition. Unfortunately, in Alaska, that project was terminated after a 2-year experiment. And what we'll have then following that is the data that comes out. That comes to we hope to show the legislature of the state some avenues that can be taken in local planning. As the president of the Alaska Public Health Association, I can tell you that one of the handicaps that we have in the state is that the organizations that are most interested in health manpower development, and certainly standpoint of professional development, that is the professional organizations that support nurses, physicians, med techs, nutritionists, pharmacists, and so on, dentists, are themselves not very well supported. That is, Alaska is a small state, so these private associations don't have staffs of their own. So most of what they do, unlike other states, has to be done on a volunteer basis. So that's how it is that the Alaska Public Health Association finds itself in the position of trying to shape some direction for these professional groups as we move towards some kind of conclusion of this healthcare access issue. I can say that for our part, we're trying very hard to hold it together. I think we have a couple of mechanisms that will help us do that. The Healthcare Coalition is a subset of the larger Alaska Health Network. The coalition is made up now of the physicians, the nurses, the pharmacists, the dentists, the physician's assistants, the Alaska Public Health Association, and the Alaska Native Health Board. So there's a 7-member organization that represents about 10,000 people in the state. 10,000 health workers, health professionals in the state. For our part, the Public Health Association is committed to working with the Medical Association and the Hospital Association and other major leaders of these private professional organizations to assist in any way we can the task force work as you move toward some kind of a firm plan later this year. It is our hope that the Alaska Public Health Association and the related groups can participate with that process, assist that process, and certainly in the area that I heard a lot about this morning, which is the area of public involvement. We too are concerned about public involvement. That came out in the summit very loud and clear. It's really important that we have some process by which this
jargon that's so specialized for most of us now gets out on the ground so that people can get, as Commissioner of Service says, get their arms around it to understand it. So far, the discussion about healthcare access, modifications in the system, have been, in my estimation, real interesting discussions, but it's still pretty much up here with us little boys and girls. It hasn't gotten out into the hinterlands yet, and I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but I guess if there was a strong message that came out of the summit, it was fix that part of it, and fix it so that it works, so that we, Trish, that was the part that we participated in. There was quite a bit of discussion about conversions, the need to move some kind of...